Welcome to another episode of The Local Podcast, a podcast about all things local, hosted by Justin April and brought to you by Bar Media.
Just click this here button. Episode 213 of The Local Podcast with some weird music playing in the background. Clay Dempsey, man, what's happening on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon?
I just stopped by to hang out for a minute.
You got
to
get in that mic. You got to hang out in that mic.
You stopped to hang out for a second.
You know, you move that wherever you want to be comfortable.
I'm moving it. Moving. I think I'm good now.
You got to keep it cozy.
Yeah, I want to keep my posture and not have scoliosis, so, I'll put it up my face.
If this was a video, I'd give you real life.
Right, no, you're good. You're good.
Your shoulders back and chin up.
Yeah, up, man, posture.
Yeah, and be like Olin Mills photo shoot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Look over your shoulder.
Yeah.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm very happy, Been in the job about, April 29th, I'll make a year. I've been in charge down there at the Civic Center, and it's been an exciting year. I've learned a lot, done a lot, and I'm looking forward to the future.
Dude, yeah. Kicking it off with that Kevin Hart show. How, when you set that as the bar, how bananas is it to keep that momentum going?
I mean, you think it's bananas, but then at the same time, Bluey sold out faster. So I don't know where you set the bar at.
Cause, yeah.
I mean, I think that showed anything is possible for the city of Dothan. I know people here don't believe it, and I even have a saying sometimes where Dothan's going to do what Dothan's going to do. Trying to say that too much anymore.
Right.
But I think it just, the way timing worked out and God involved it, I hope it just kind of demonstrated that I'm the right person right now.
Sure.
Yep. That's I hope it. That's what I demonstrated. We've done a lot of great stuff since then, and we got a lot of great stuff coming now. It's just work. Like I tell people all the time, nobody's beating down the door to come to Dothan.
Yeah.
So you got to, take opportunities when they come, and you got to try new stuff, and, you got to be quality of life focused.
100%.
Not super financially focused. What I run is a tool to get people to Dothan and increase the quality of life here. And luckily for me, I work for some bosses who are quality of life minded, and they mm-hmm. trust me to make good decisions. And, we've been hitting green lights.
Sure.
So what's important is whenever we hit a red light, what do we do during that pause? How do we adjust? And then we get another green light.
Regroup and move forward.
Yeah, regroup, move forward. What I'm most proud about is, all the shows and all are really cool, but the culture we're putting in place down there.
Yeah, you've been building a heck of a team, too.
Oh, it's the team. That's key, man. That staff that we have is – they bought in. It took a minute. I came in like a hammer because, we had to. And this, when you come in with a new philosophy that's 180 of what everyone's been used to for a decade,
sure,
it's really, really tough to, you want people to buy in quick, but at the same time, they're not. So you have to make some fast adjustments. And, we were talking today in a staff meeting, and, I kind of apologize for coming in as such a hammer. But now we have a very, I like to tell them all the time, I want it to be like a family environment. You don't let anybody fail. You see somebody failing, you reach down, pick them up. Because if one person on our team drops, the whole team drops.
Yeah, it's all a big accountability program.
Yeah, that's it. So we're trying to put in that culture of ownership and accountability. And, I want everybody to kind of jump into what we're doing because we have a great opportunity. We're getting to close down this building that's over 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're getting to start a new building. I'm overwhelmed with gratitude that I'm the person that's sitting on top right now.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm sure it's nerve-wracking to an extent.
It can be because, like I said, my wife sees it and, some of my staff sees it. It never stops. So I'm constantly on the phone. I'm constantly looking at other promoters. I'm constantly thinking about what can we do in the city of Dothan. I do know that nobody's ever brought touring Broadway plays to Dothan.
Sure.
I think that's probably about to change.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me the other day, what concerts are you working on? I said, I'm working on Broadway plays now. I'm going for that next challenge.
Yeah.
So you may see Book of Mormon in Dothan.
Sure.
You may see Chicago in Dothan and the actual touring. There's a huge art community here I think will support that. And outside of the art community that's already here to support it, I know for me when I was growing up, it took things like that, these big productions to come in and for me to be inspired and say, hey, I want to do that. I didn't know that was a possibility.
Yeah.
So I think, this is just for me, I think if we bring in some of these bigger artistic events, it's only going to amplify the art community here.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And not only that, but like, and like where I'm from, Syracuse, we'll have like, there'll be concert stuff in the Carrier Dome, and like anytime there's a concert at one of the bigger venues that's well known, it's a spectacle. Like, it is an absolute thing that you don't want to miss. And it doesn't matter necessarily what that event is, but just because they're having it at that venue, you already know that it's a caliber show that you want
right.
to be a part of.
Right.
And it's, I could see how it could be kind of, I don't know, like an uphill battle trying to convey that, when it just seems like, you know, big shows are the priority. But in a big way, like, all the big shows coming in is going to add value to all the other local art stuff that we already have going on.
Yep.
And it's going to just create and synergize that whole system
yep.
into something bigger and greater than
it is
we could probably ever imagine.
It does. And that's why I tried to explain to a promoter last week, because he was, you know, he was amazed at how quick the tickets went to a certain event. And I try to explain to him, it's more than just your event now. There's some positivity around this facility.
Yep.
And we got a lot of support out in the community. People are coming because they know they're going to have a good time. And it's, you're part of something right now. You can feel the energy rolling.
100%.
And then, you know, like I said, to be a piece of that energy, kind of rolling the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. I go to bed thinking about it, wake up thinking about it. You know, and we're constantly – we know my team understands the mission.
Yeah.
Like, we get it, where we're trying to go and what we're trying to accomplish. And, you know, I've learned a lot. I know change is very hard. You know, change is scary to me. It's just, as a person, you don't want to get out of your comfort zone.
Well, not only that, but, like, nobody's ever done this before.
Yeah, so nobody's ever been here.
There's no roadmap. There's no, like how-to book.
Right. I know that out there in the community, you know, I represent change. There's a new building coming. There's a lot of question marks. And, you know, I know a little bit more than other people do, but I don't know a whole lot about
sure.
it. But we are going to figure it all out. So, first year, you know, it was changing culture, getting us on the map, getting Dothan yeah. back on the map and say, hey, we're open for business. We want entertainment here. The second year is what I'm trying to do is get a little bit more involved, you know, with, you know, volunteer my time with some SEAC, volunteer my time with the Weigrich Museum of Art, and let's, you know, I really want to dig into what they do and support them 100%.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but like, when you know the community that well, you know what shows are going to perform better, and you know what's going to be more, like, it's going to be more supported in the area.
Yep. Well, you know, every culture is built off art, entertainment. I mean, it's, so you can't have big entertainment without having local entertainment.
100%.
And, I mean, it just doesn't work. So right now we're at one facility. Now, when I get the Opera House back online, May of 25, June of 25, somewhere around there, you know, we're going to start working on some program. I would really want to amplify the local music scene and comedy scene, and I need that building back to do it.
Yeah.
So we have some plans. We're already working on programming. And then again, you know, there's a lot of art in Dothan that really needs a home. There's already champions running behind it, but now they need a partner to help them really
yeah.
take it to the next level.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping some of this stuff I'm doing, like I said earlier, is you know, giving some kids some dreams,
yeah.
you know, because I think that's missing from Dothan. I think that's one big piece is...
Well, accessibility to yep. shows of that, like, caliber, you've got to drive 3 hours to see something like that.
Yeah, you got to take off. You know, you go to Atlanta, you go to Florida... You don't necessarily go to Montgomery. You don't go to Tallahassee.
Yeah.
You go to, you know, you take a trip.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm all for trying to do stuff that's never been done but here. And I understand a lot of stuff's been done. You know, somebody had MMA here.
Right.
That was huge.
Yeah.
UFC. I remember going to that because tickets were free. I didn't know what I was going to.
Right.
And then you look at the history of just the Civic Center and stuff they've had. We've been trying to put together a detailed list because,
yeah, like a whole, like, comprehensive list of every yeah. performance.
I realize that, and I say this with much love, but I realize a lot of the, you know,
record keeping.
Yeah, our teenage and early 20 years, generationally, they're the same because everybody talks about going to shows, but they can't tell you when it happened.
Sure.
So, you know, if you don't have a date, then did it really happen?
Yeah, that ticket stub's missing.
Yeah, I mean, everything. I think they were here. I think, but so we're trying to compile a list.
Yeah, there's all these rumors of, like, Black Crowes played here.
I mean, I know that. I went to that one. That was awesome. I remember going to that one, and You knew something was about to be
like
over.
Like Pantera, like.
Yeah, I got a picture of that at the house. Black Crowes, what stood out the most to me, and I was 93, so I was 16. They had their own Zigzag papers, and I think that's what sealed the deal for shows for a while.
Yeah.
The Black Crowes Zigzag with a little wire in the paper. And
yeah.
That stands out when you're a teenager.
Sure.
Because you think that stuff's cool, and that's when you're going to head shops, and think all that stuff's really cool.
Yeah, how on a whim.
Yeah, now you just drive by them. But, you look back, and they opened that building up in 75. Like, you can look at it. It looked like it took 2 years to build.
Mm-hmm.
So when they open it up, they have, I'm looking at it right now. I don't know this stuff by memorization, but it looks like they opened up with Johnny Winter and Brownsville Station in March, ELO and Journey in April of 76, Blue Oyster Cult and Rush in 1976.
Just huge.
That was probably the show to be at, there. That's monstrous. So I do know that James Grant was the mayor when the building opened. My wife works for Gina Grant of all things to work out. So she said that her dad was just on top of new music coming and putting Dothan on the map. And if you look at some of the routing, it's the same. So we have Breaking Benjamin coming on a Monday night. It was the same back then, too. Nothing's changed. Dothan is a routing town. We may get a lot of shows on the weekends, but in order to build this market, and somebody knew it 50 years ago, it's going to be weekdays.
Yep.
So it's not like – and I think that's one thing that the public doesn't understand – and there's no reason for them. So whenever you go get a show, it's not like you call and say, "Hey, I need you to come here on a Saturday." It's actually reverse.
Look at their dates.
Yep. So there's people, they'll say, "Hey, we're going down to Florida. We got to go to Tennessee. Is there anything you can do for us in the middle?"
Mm-hmm.
And we do it. Now that's how we get Breaking Benjamin is because they're coming from Rockville.
Sure.
Which that week after Rockville, that should be Rock Week in Dothan, and that should have been established itself as Rock Week. The plant has two shows.
Yeah.
They have a Friday-Saturday rock show. We have a Monday rock show. It's cool to watch that form, because it's almost like a little mini city festival.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those guys at the plant are great. They got this – they really invested hard into getting this music scene going in Dothan.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, it's going. I've been to some awesome shows there. The owners there, I think the world of the owners are great.
Oh, yeah, Clark's doing a great job.
Yeah, they're great. So we're trying. So then you go into, 1977 – and you're just looking at, there's two shows in January. There's a Fog Hat, and there's a Dr. Hook. And then in February, they went to Jimmy Buffett. March, they went to Wild Cherry.
Yeah, that's blowing the...
April, they went to Lynyrd Skynyrd in 1977. I don't even know if Sweet Home Alabama was out then, but I imagine it was.
That had to have been one of the loudest.
It says the original lineup, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then they follow that up on July the 1st with Judas Priest. You imagine
killing
that?
It, yeah.
But killing it. That's just killing
that's
it.
Amazing.
In 77? White Witch on a Halloween, and I'm not sure if that wasn't at the Farm Center, because apparently the Farm Center used to do a lot of shows too. They had the Eagles there in 72, I think.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, so our Farm Center's more than just wrestling people. It also did concerts.
Yeah, right. I need to get some Farm Center merch from back then.
Yeah, and then on November 1st, Rush came back.
Dude, imagine what was going on in the 70s in Dothan, Alabama.
I don't know, man. We get to 78 and you got Charlie Daniels Band, then you got Johnny Winter. Charlie Daniels Band and the Winter Brothers, Rush for the second time, Blue Oyster Cult, Willie Nelson, Marshall Tucker Band, Leo Sayer, Atlanta Rhythm Section, the Hall & Oates, and then Bread. And that finishes up. That's 78. So you're looking at a dozen concerts came through here in 78.
Giant. Not little, but giant.
No, not little ones. Whoever figured this out, and I got a feeling that it was a very – it's a new venue, quality of life-minded person that wanted stuff to come and said, "Hey." And I've heard stories where somebody was at the Civic Center one day and they were telling me, "I would never do this because I'm very security-minded and probably to a fault." They said that they would give the venue, they would let the artist come in and have the venue, no cost.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these artists would come and stay here. Like they would, they bring their buses, but they would come for 2 days and just live there. And they said some of the concerts were so big that they would just open the doors and there'd be people out in the parking lot.
Good God.
But nobody has any pictures, but...
Yeah, dude.
It's a big myth.
I need to hit up Frank Gaines' son.
Anybody out there, if you got any old pictures...
I'll text him.
Old stories, old ticket stubs, please send them our way. Because, we want to make a big archive because this building is coming down at the end of 25.
Mm-hmm.
And, my goal, at least, and I told my team this every time we meet... it got opened up with such a bang. I'm planning on reversing that and finish it off with a bang because it deserves that. And I tell my team, you know, this sounds weird.
Send it off, man.
I got all kind of new graphics on it, new logo and everything. And they asked me why I do all that with a building we're tearing down. And I was like, look, we're good to the building. It's going to be good to us. Mm-hmm. You know, it wants to be remembered. So let's take care of it like it's brand new.
Sure.
You know, let's give it another life. So in 79, you go to Statler Brothers, Charlie Daniels. Hart was here in 79. Barcaze, Blackfoot, Blue Oyster Cult, BJ Thomas, Allman Brothers Band with the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. And then you go to October 7th, AC/DC.
What?
And there's an AC/DC Highway to Hell tour shirt.
Yeah, with Dothan on the back.
John Byers showed me one, and it's Dothan and then Atlanta.
What?
You know, it's the same philosophy that we're running on now, Routed.
Yep.
It's a Routed show. Atlanta Rhythm Section. Then in the 80s, it kind of dips off a little bit. Frank Marino, Mahogany Rush, Blue Oyster Cult, 81, 38
Blue Oyster
special.
Cult was like the house band down there.
Blue Oyster Cult was, I guess they used to kill it down here.
Chilling.
You know, and that's, oh man, I can't imagine the lights and the fog. And
right.
somebody loves Blue Oyster
like,
Cult.
See what's going on?
I mean, they should probably make Dothan their second home.
They should have turned. I bet they turned that into a giant planetarium for the show.
Oh, I bet. You remember? Because you imagine back then they didn't have LEDs. They didn't have lasers.
They just had projectors on the ceiling.
Cans and projectors. Yeah. And one guy flipping. They probably had red, blue, green. That's it.
Yeah. Shaking jails over the lights.
That's it. And you know, just and probably like a fan with a fog machine.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a 38 special in 81. Blackfoot in 81. Conway Twitty in 81. So. One thing that stands out to me a lot about the history of this place is, two, what you want to do is a good, you know.
A good mix.
Yeah, it's a good mix. Like, you're trying to do something for everyone.
Yeah.
You want to do something for everybody. And so for me, like, right now, you know I got to get an R&B or Southern Blues show. And I will tell people, I did think we had a Jill Scott date, which would have sold that place out. But that's going to roll back around in 2025. Would love to have her here, and I really thought we were close. And then, like I said, you know, I want to do one of these Broadway plays. Nobody's ever done that.
Yeah.
And I think it'll support it here.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, 84, Mellencamp. And let me know if I'm going too fast.
No, you're
a
good,
big
man.
List. Ted Nugent, the Go-Go's came in 84.
All right.
And, you know, that's
crazy.
Go-Go's inspired by punk music.
Yeah.
Like, that's Millie Jackson, Orange Juice Jones. You remember that Talking in the Rain?
Yeah.
Yes. Night Ranger, The Outfield in 87. You go to Huey Lewis. And I remember this next
Huey
one because
Lewis.
I was young. Rat and Poison came in 87, and Poison was the opening band.
What?
Yeah.
That's, dude, yeah.
September 5th, Starship. And then I went to these next ones. So in 91, there was Winger, Extreme, and Tangier, Nelson, Enough is Enough. And then this one really kind of changed the trajectory for music. We went to go see Skid Row because you don't know anything about MTV at that point because they're blasting it. Pantera opened up, and it really changed what I thought about music.
Sure.
Because it was the most
There's
aggressive.
Nothing going on like that.
They played like I felt when
it
I was.
91?
91.
Cowboys
so
from
was,
Hell, probably?
Yeah, so I was 16 years old.
Oh, they, yeah, right in the middle of the angstiest
part. Yeah, they sounded just like I felt on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
And I knew from then on, you know, I think me and my buddies went to – 7 Pantera shows over the next 5 years.
Oh, man.
Just original lineup and just
did
just
you ever,
what we wanted.
I know you're like a production nerd, kind of like just like to see how things work. Have you ever been to it was Phil Anselmo's haunted house in New Orleans?
Oh, New Orleans, no, I've seen pictures. That stuff looks like voodoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had like people running around with antlers on their head, moss.
I went there a few years ago. It was a blast.
I bet it's a blast. Yeah. It looks like he put a lot of money into
Good
it.
Good time. The dudes running around like the freak show, like outside, is gnarlier than anything.
Oh, you can tell. You can definitely tell somebody on really hard drugs came up with that concept because it's out there.
It's wild, yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's very out there. But yeah, I remember going to the Pantera show and it just, at that point, I've been to shows, but I've never heard anything that loud. And I should tell people too. So I would think my mom was probably the biggest, you know, for what I do now for a living and what I've always messed around with in my life. My mom probably really amplified the problem. When I was about 13, you know, she took my brother to go see New Kids on the Block, and I didn't understand why she could take him to a concert, but you can't take me.
Sure.
So then she took me and one of my friends to Albany, Georgia, dropped us off at 13 years old for Motley Crue and Faster Pussycat.
Oh, wow.
And I'm pretty sure that It's on the Dr. Feel Good tour. I was 13.
That's that good stuff.
So that was my first concert experience ever. So now, you know, now I want everything just to be in my face. And, you know, so that probably really amplified.
That was my first cassette, was Dr. Feel Good.
Oh, it's great. It's great. It's one of those albums where you just, you know, it takes you back. Cause, I mean, I'll listen to it now.
Not to get weird, but there's so many influences on that album of stuff that I've found later, like Beatles riffs and stuff like that in that album, that I'm like, oh, I know what that's from this. And it's wild. Like,
it's wild.
I obviously, as a whatever, and let's see, 7-year old kid, I wasn't necessarily like, looking for inspiration or like, I had any idea that anybody had played these notes in that order before.
I get it. You can tell those guys were, you know, like you can hear when somebody's a fan of somebody and what they influenced. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of those hair bands, I think, get overlooked because it's, you know, that era.
Well, everybody just thinks it's like unidimensional. It's just one thing. It's just like,
you seems like you write one love song and then you can go write you a metal record.
That's it.
Yeah.
Somebody figured that out. Per record.
That's probably around the same time they really figured out, like, what it takes to sell a record.
Yeah.
You know,
you got to give the lady Motown something figured it out. Gonna stay.
Yeah, you got to have that little acoustic number. You remember people used to put their lighters, you know, now they do their phone with a white light.
Yeah.
You
can't take the lighter in the venue anymore.
No, you can't. You can't.
Can't take your phone in the venue anymore.
Some of them you can't. You just can't do it in comedy venues. Comedy venues.
Well, that's because somebody's working on an album. You can't leak their material.
Yeah, I guess I should talk about, you know, we can talk about that.
We can do that after we finish the list.
Okay. We still got a few more pages.
We will get sidetracked.
So, 93, I went to this one, too, and it was at Black Crowes on the Southern Harmony and Musical Companion Tour. So, it was the second album. And it was great seeing that live because at the time, you don't know, they recorded that whole album in two takes.
Oh, man.
So, it was pretty much like these guys are going to come in and know what we're going to do, and we're going to roll.
Yep.
And then it had a group with them called the Jayhawks, which is weird. I didn't appreciate that music when I was younger, but when I got my early 30s, I started listening to the Jayhawks because it's just, it's peaceful.
Yeah.
It's really good. And
I need to dig into that.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember going though, but you know.
Yeah.
That was a good one. And then it drops off 85, 95, Bob Dylan. Drops off again, 99, Moody Blues. 2000, Little Feet. 2002, Bush.
I remember
Course of Nature. 2004, Three Doors Down to Ron White. And that's only two shows in 2004, but those are two big shows.
Yeah.
2005, Travis Tritt, Clarence Carter, Molly Hatchet.
Travis Tritt's coming back.
Travis Tritt's, you know, he's about 400 tickets for selling out. So if you're waiting to go see Travis Tritt,
don't.
I will say this. I don't listen to a lot of country music, but I didn't realize Travis Tritt was such a blues guitar bass player.
Yeah.
And I took my wife to see him acoustically, and she knew that she thought I was joking when I said I don't know the words of these songs.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Well, I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, I have no clue. I know he's well respected and who he is, but I don't, you know, it's not my style of music. But if you want to come out to Travis Tritt, you're gonna have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Lee Greenwood, 38 Special again, 2007, Taylor Hicks, 2008, Skyline Drive in May, Red Atkins, Lifehouse, the Red Jumpsuit Apparatus.
I remember those dudes.
Yeah. 2009, Skillet, Mercy Me, Jamie Johnson, Roundy Houser, Kelly Pickler. 10, a couple of 2011, Billy Currington, Jamie Johnson, Casting Crowns. 2014, Willie Nelson, Casting Crowns. 2015, Chris Tomlin, Celtic Woman, Rodney Carrington. 2016, Ronnie Millsap, Travis Tritt comes back. There's a couple I'm skipping over. So 2017, Gene Watson, Josh Turner, Trace Atkins, Colton Dixon. And then 2018 looks like Gaither Vocal Band, Newsboys, Celtic Woman, Travis Tritt again. That's the show I took my wife to. The Oak Ridge Boys, Rodney Carrington again. 2019, Ron White comes back, and I'd love to have Ron White. That guy's
amazing.
Legend.
Yeah.
For King and Country, John Crist. 21, Collinsworth Family, Zach Williams. Of course, that jump happens, so 20 to 21 is kind of, you know, if you look at any venue, that's a blur.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I don't even know what you call that.
Mulligan year?
Yep. 22, Vince Gill. All right, then we get to 23. So, Gary Allen.
Yep.
And Kevin Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Casey and the Sunshine Band. Clint Black. Justin Moore. Priscilla Block. Jim Brewer. And now we're here. Breaking Benjamin's coming May 13th. Travis Tritt's coming June the 8th. Aaron Lewis is coming November the 9th. And this isn't all we have, guys. Like, we got some stuff we haven't put out yet. So it's coming. That's the other thing.
Because, I mean, you schedule out as far as you can just because you have to. But it's not like you just look at October and you're like, all right, from now until then, we're just going to prepare for October.
Right. And I think yeah, we're already at 25 with some stuff.
Yeah.
So I think, too, you know, again, you know, I try to educate on what we do and how shows happen. So say a promoter will call you or send you an email. Hey, Clay, what do you got from this block to this block? Mm-hmm. Say like October 10th through October, 18th. You message them back and go, I got this, this, and this. I'm going to put first hold on that. Okay. So you don't know if you got the show or not. It could be 3 weeks before that happens. Sure. But you got to have calendar availability to get these shows.
Yep.
I think, you know, my first year, and this is this full transparency, I got really frustrated because, you know, we lost, and these shows were going to happen. So we lost ZZ Top, Tom Segura, AEW Wrestling, which I'm glad I lost that because, sure, you know, the NWA thing bounced. Yeah. It was great. So, you know, trying to work the calendar is the hardest thing. So, you know, if you're coming in and you have some events that take up 7 days, it could get kind of frustrating. But it's all part of it. You know, we have a small building, and, you know, I'm trying to learn, and, you know, I hope my frustration doesn't go off on other people, but I'm trying to learn, too, how to best manage this calendar for not only what groups and their fans and what the city needs, but also on a wider scale what the city needs. And that doesn't include revenue.
For the region.
Yeah. For the region. Like, what's going to put us on the map where it says, you know, Dothan's the place I need to go. Has anybody reached out to Dothan? Anybody reached out to the guy down there? Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening now. You know, so something like NWA, you know, they're going to have three episodes that's going to say Dothan, Alabama.
Yeah.
And which I think is really cool.
And then three more after
December. I mean, we had the brains behind Smashing Pumpkins at the Dothan Civic Center.
Yeah.
Bringing a wrestling.
Strange sentence to say.
Yeah, end of the show, it's like 12:30 at night. Me and my wife are standing back there. You know, we don't bother talent. Like, that's one thing, you know, I have a big rule out back there. Talent, that's their job. Don't go up, talk to them. Don't go up and ask for an autograph. Don't just be easy. That guy came up, talked to me. Billy Corgan called me by my first name twice. And my wife was like, can you believe that guy just called you by your first name? I was like, I mean, it's unreal because I used to listen to Siamese Dream all the time. Like, it's just so surreal that this guy.
You start singing Today's the Greatest.
Yeah, and the coolest thing was he. You know, we're trying to get him to the meet and greet because we're running behind. Mm-hmm. You look up on stage, and he's coaching these wrestlers on how to do their video promos. And I'm thinking in my head, when do you get to see Billy Corgan in his creative zone? Like, he is up there coaching these people. He's doing what he loves to do, and we're getting to stand there and watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's worth $77 million from his music.
See his
creative process.
But
he's up there wrestling. Yeah, it was great. It was great. And then, you know, we're going to have some more stuff this year, and I really believe that next year is going to be we're going to roll it back, and it's going to be as big as it was in 77. We're going to ride it on out till the building closes down.
Yeah. And well, one of the – back to, like, the frustrations with scheduling right now, like, one of the other things that people don't realize is you have half the dates because you have half the venues.
Yep.
Because one of them is completely off limits till at least May of 25.
At least May of 25.
And so that'll make it a lot less, like, nerve-wracking. Like, that's just a variable that you haven't been able to really leverage to your benefit.
Yeah, you haven't, you know. And that's where, you know, I'm friends with Dave Stock. He owns the Forum.
Mm-hmm.
So his venue is 350 to 400. And that's where I'm trying to unload some stuff on and try to get, you know, get more people acclimated to what Dave's got to offer. Because he's put a lot of money in that venue, man. Sure. It looks super. And he's focused, business minded, he's trying to do a lot for downtown Dothan. So we try to shift people that direction because 200 people in the Civic Center, it just don't look right.
No, it's hard to photograph and to, like, just for the event promoter to be like, look, this is how many people came out. You can't put 20 or 200 people in the Civic Center and it not look like 20.
It can't. And then you got the same, you know, like I said, the same staffing protocols that I use. Like, you know, that's what people don't realize too, is some of the staffing is, I'm not basing that on how – I'm basing some of it at a certain point. It goes to how many people are coming, but there's a base set based on the size of the venue.
Sure.
If you're here, well, this door's got to be covered. This has got to happen. This has got to happen. This has got to happen. That's not me just saying, hey, we need – you know, there's a method to it all. And as you add people, then you start adding more as it goes. You know, you need a certain number of ushers. You need a certain number of security. You need a certain number of ticket scanners. So there is a science behind a lot of this stuff. And I know that was kind of new to Dothan because it's just been kind of a free-for-all. So, you know, again, I appreciate everybody. We've adjusted. We've come a long way in a year considering that we weren't scanning tickets when I got there. We had no bag policy. We had no policies whatsoever. It was just a free-for-all.
Yeah.
You know, where are you going with that bag of donuts? Well, I'm going here and eat. Well, I sell food, too, so why are you bringing in food?
Yeah.
You know, that's so.
It's wild, man.
It's wild, man. It's been a good year, though. It's been a challenge.
Let's go back to that bag policy. Let's talk about why that's the thing. Like, I know why it's the thing, because I used to tour with a band for a while.
Yeah.
Like, I've been to shows, and I've been around the business for a while.
But yeah, it's a thing because, you know, things do happen.
Yeah.
They happen everywhere.
Sure.
But if I can prevent something happening on my watch, you know, because I'm responsible for whoever comes in there.
Yeah.
You know, I work for the city of Dothan, but you're still.
Oh, I was talking about the phones in the bags.
Oh, yeah, the phones in the bags. Oh, we can go back. I was talking about the clear bag policy.
No, I get that. No, that's all just to keep guns
and. Guns, work, and then, you know, it speeds up the line outside, too. People don't realize that. Throw your bag on the table, let me see what you got, and then go. The phone policy with comedy shows, and this will happen again down there. I just don't want it to be a big jolt again.
Yeah, right.
So comedians on tour are working out material for a special. Their goal is to get to a special, and that special is 1 hour. If you bust your phone out and you
leak half of the
set. If you even leak one punchline, that joke's burned.
Yep.
If you leak the whole set, that's disastrous, and the whole thing's burned.
Yep.
So, you know, that's the reason they do the no phone policy, and plus you're way more attentive.
Oh, dude, that's
looking at the show.
You will experience it. Rather than watch it on your phone.
Right. If you can't do it without your cell phone for 2.5 hours these days, you got bigger problems.
100%.
Yeah, you got bigger problems. I've learned recently that I've been subconsciously leaving both my cell phones laid on the counter somewhere, and I'll subconsciously just walk off. And that's my body telling me, hey, you need to take a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we try to take those breaks.
Yep. I always put my phone upside down. Like if I'm having dinner with somebody, it's weird, man, because – I'm a dude, and there's all these like weird societal like codes. Like,
yep.
If your dude's got his phone face down at the dinner table, he's probably cheating. Like, no. I'm trying to pay attention to the people that I'm with. Like, instead of being a rude asshole. You know?
Yeah, I left it in my car. You know, today. You know, there's certain places I don't take it. I don't take it to meetings with my bosses. I don't take it to my, you know, my Narcotics Anonymous meetings. I don't take it to church. I don't take it to my. You know, last night I took it to my small group, but it was a mistake.
Yeah,
because I start scrolling, scrolling, screen capping other venues at certain events, looking at those promoters. Like I'm addicted to the, addicted to the hustle.
Your feet are there, but your head ain't.
No, it ain't. And then you go, what were you talking about?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's dude. I try not to mess with my phone just because like, it is, at the end of the day, like it's just like a politeness thing for me, and like I don't know, like if I'm watching a movie with my wife and she's scrolling her phone, I'm like, what'd she say? And she's like, what? I'm not paying attention. I'm like, well, why are we even doing this?
Yeah. My wife's a real estate agent, man. So we quit trying to watch movies about a year ago because a 2-hour movie is going to last 8 hours.
Yep.
Okay. You know, and I get it. You always got to be chasing that money when you're in that business.
Yep.
Yep. So, you know, then again, if she'd have not answered the phone, I'd have put it on pause. You'd get that.
Yes.
You'd get that.
You're trying to eat good.
Yeah, man. I'm trying not to bore too many people to death with some of this stuff, but, you know, I think too. And we've talked about this in my department because, you know, I got Daniel with me. Mm. And Daniel, we've been talking for, you know, people don't realize that. They would never know this if we hadn't told them. But, you know, for 5-6 years, me and Daniel, I would call it digital pen pals. Mm-hmm. Like, we talk on Messenger, talk, hey, what do you think about this? Well, tell me about this. What are you going to do with this? Well, I think I got this. It's just been going back and forth. So this has been going to play out. Like, this is what happened. So we got an opportunity to get him in there, and you know, we're gonna shift him up to you know, I got him in there, and now he's having to finish college. Probably won't tell anybody that, so he's almost done. He had a lot already finished. He does that, we're gonna try to get him on up to the next level, because it's good to have someone you trust, and not only trust but you respect what they know, and he's got a lot of knowledge, a lot of tech knowledge I don't have. So we make a pretty good team, and then we, like I said, we got a great team up under us too.
That's what it takes, man. It takes a strong foundation for it, something to sustain itself.
It does,
especially with all the improvements and all the construction and all the up in the air that's going on right now. Without a strong foundation, like, people are just going to waver and be like, oh, I don't know.
You'll
be rebuilding that team in a year,
and that's what it's what you got to sell everybody on is we got a lot of work, to do.
It's going to be fun work.
Yeah, but we, who else gets this opportunity?
Yeah.
Like, we get this, you know, we get to put in on, you know, I need 30 foot from the doors in the back to the stage. Mm-hmm. We need four semi, you know, doors. We need this Sure Power in the back. Those little things. We need two, you know, special VIP rooms for artists. We need this. We need that. You know, curtains to close off the venues at quarters, mm-hmm. or split in half down the middle. Like, you'll be able to step back, you know, in 50 years, you know, hopefully somebody's looking at a list like I'm looking at now going, dang, those dudes back in 2026, like, had it figured out.
Yeah.
So that's the goal.
It's a fun, dude. It's, I say this every, like, few years, and then, like, for the rest of the years, I'm just annoyed. But, like, right now is one of those, like, super exciting times to be in the Wiregrass, like, just seeing everything changing and, like, being a part of it and being able, like, if you would have told me, if you would have ever told me that I was going to own a newspaper in this town,
right,
and that it was going to do well, I would have been like, what, are you crazy? Like,
I don't even want to be here. Yeah. You know, stuff like that.
But it just turns into, like, the whole thing for me was just like, this place wasn't created for me, so let's make it what I want it to be.
Yeah, I tell people, you know, it's...
nothing on earth is created for you.
No, it's strange that, you know, I was talking to another friend of ours a couple weeks ago because, you know, we're at that age now where people are paying attention to what we're doing.
Sure.
Because so we had some other friends call up and they said, hey, do you think he'd be offended if I asked him if he'd kind of mentor us and look at our work?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, he'll probably get a kick out of it. So I call him up and I go, hey, man, just want to let you know that some of my friends want to know, would you help them mentor them?
Sure.
And he just, you know, he was kind of taken back. And I said, no, this is just where we're at in life right now. Yep. But going back, you know, you can feel something happening in Dothan right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if it's because I'm a part of it or what's happening, but there's something driving change in this area right now. And you can feel it because I think we're at that spot. We're ready to jump off.
Yep.
You know, ready to jump up.
2020 was a big bottleneck for everybody. So you got a big, like, charge of energy that you couldn't do anything with, and now that, like, I mean, now that the gate's open, you can run.
Just run. It's like a clean slate.
Yep.
You know, and I got another thing. You know, you run into people, and I'm sure you run into them all the time. You know, they Dothan this, Dothan that. You know, now when I hear somebody complain, you know, like, you hear somebody say,
I always just ask them what they're doing to make it better.
Yeah, that's what I say too. There's no good restaurants in Dothan. Well, what can you cook?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of food would you like?
Yeah.
Well, unless you got a solution, are you willing to jump out there like guy who put his whole family and his credit and everything on the line to start something? Don't have an opinion,
right?
Like, don't slam it unless you're willing to change it. Like, leave it. So my mentality is, you know, what I'm doing now is important, but the guy behind me is going to have it better. He's going to do a better job than I did. The guy behind him would do a better job than he did.
Like that.
And that's the way it's got to roll. Like, you can't think about your immediate me. That's just not a good thing. You got to think, what am I doing today that's going to affect somebody 10 years down the road?
Sure.
In everything that you do. And that's why, you know, you try to catch yourself doing that. You know, it's kind of like a cosmos mentality. You know, that they tell you to, you know, think about.
How much of this did you manifest, Clay?
Yeah. How much did you look at? But they tell you, like, you know, like, think about your ripples not in time, but in, like, space and, you know. I read some out there stuff sometimes.
Oh, man. That's the funnest stuff to read.
Yeah. I read it, you know. But, you know, that's it, man. Again, I'm just, you know, blessed to be a part of what's happening, you know. It's cool. Mardi Gras is cool to watch.
Yeah, dude. I'm glad I get to talk about it for a living. You know what I mean? Like, it's a rad opportunity for me just to, you know, like, be in the wings trying to help you all along.
Right.
It's fun.
And that's, you know, with the city. So a cool thing about it is we don't have beaches, we don't have mountains, we don't have lakes. Like, so
we just got people.
We got people, and we got hospitality, and we got experience. So when something comes down here, you guys just do what you do, man. Just make everybody feel welcome, and let's make people. You know, this is all I ask of the community. Let's make these artists and these groups and these events come and. Let's make it where they get on the bus and they go to the next venue and they run into another agent or another tour manager and they say, man, if you've never been down to Dothan, Alabama, you need to check it out. Those people down there has got something going on.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's how you make, that's how you put a place on a map.
That's how it happens. It just keeps rolling.
Yeah. Then whoever has your job in like three eras from now, their phone's just going to ring off the hook nonstop. They're going to have to tell everybody, no, we're booked up.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and with a new venue, it's really cool because, you know, I don't know what size arena and the new theater, and we'll have the opera house. So technically, we have three venues, and we'll have a park outside. You know, I don't know what all that goes, but then you start talking about huge sports tournaments, mm-hmm. huge artists. Like, yep. You could do four events at one time. Yeah. I'm sure my staff doesn't want to hear me say this because they see me thinking all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, BJCC does that constantly.
They do it constantly. I got a friend that runs Von Braun in Huntsville, and last time I was in Huntsville, he took me for a whole tour of the whole thing, and he showed me his flip team that goes from ice to dirt to concert. It's pretty amazing.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. You know, and just so people know, I was in Huntsville because I was going to workshops on how nonprofits support local art.
Oh, right.
Trying to figure that one out too, you know, yeah. like how do you get it all up under one kind of roof where
everybody has their own identity.
Yeah, you bring all your sponsors into one roof that would be kind of like say Friends of the Downtown Center.
Sure.
Okay, so you have all your sponsors and all your grant money there. So whenever you have a local art group go, well, we want to do this in the fall. Well, here goes your marketing budget. We're going to do that internally. Here goes your budget for production. And then it just keeps cycling.
Yeah.
And that way, too, you could take something like, say, SEAC, Wagner's Museum of Art, will all be there together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got a Halloween play. I got a Halloween art exhibition coming. And you kind of marry stuff together. And that's the way it goes. And it's going to take, you know, and I know that's with me, too. Like, I can be hard to deal with. I mean, I get it. But, it's going to take everybody working together to really push this thing forward.
That's one of the big things. When I was on the board of Dothan Area Young Professionals,
mm-hmm.
We had Aces for the Arts. It was like the last Saturday of every
January. I went to that last one.
And it's a great event. Like, it's super fun. But it was always a scheduling nightmare because Mardi Gras balls would land sometimes in January or early February, and like, there was always something going on. And one of the things with the local that I've always tried to do is just be aware of all of those things, just to be like, hey, for instance, we were going to show a movie in Solomon Park last year, and it was, I can't remember what SEAC show was going on, but it was a show that they were running at the same time. And it'd be like us running like Little Shop of Horrors now.
Right.
And playing that in a park while they're trying to perform it. Like, it's,
right,
knowing that and being able to like avoid any confusion or like overstepping marketing wise and stuff like that is huge.
There's pros and cons to coming out of you know, one entity.
Yeah,
the messaging. But then I think there's you know, the more you dig into things, I think there's more pros to it.
Sure.
You know, who knows? So, we've been looking at, like I said, when we get the opera house back, I'm really going to dig into working on this local music scene. We may sign some contracts with a couple of national promoters to bring in up-and-coming artists 8-6 times a year. Same with, I know a guy that he's really big in the comedy world. Same with him, roll in about 8 to 12 comedians a year. I started talking to somebody the other day. I used to work for the Philadelphia Film Festival, and the stuff that we used to do that was cool during off-season was, you know, we'd show like 35mm print of Big Lebowski at 10 mm-hmm. o'clock at night on a Friday.
Oh,
and people
cool.
would dress up and come to it.
Yeah.
You know, Ghostbusters, 35mm print, things like that. You know, I don't know what would work here, but I want to do, you know, I reached out to a company last week because we have a big video wall. I want to start doing some kind of movie nights.
Yeah.
You know, I want to reach out to, you know, if somebody shot a documentary in Alabama, I want to show it there.
Sure.
You know, things like that. I want to kind of do some new programming over there because, you know, we keep the old, work in the new, and that's, you know, that's what we got to do. And it's going to be hard, like it's been hard here. I'm trying to work in some new while we keep the old, and there's been a lot of turbulence.
It's just, you know, anytime you stir in new ingredients, you're going to ripple that water.
Yeah,
up,
so I just, you know, I just ask people to be patient with me. Even if you don't, you know, you don't agree with what I'm doing, just be patient. I got a vision and a plan, and we're going to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like Icetown from...
No. And I don't think what I say is what happens. I'm not that person
either.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what makes you good for the position. It's like there's not an ego that's trying to drive this thing because this is going to be my way or this or that. It's just like,
I'm going to tell you this, man. It's kind of weird how it's all working out. Like I have to do some work, but it's amazing to me how many green lights we're hitting.
That's good, man.
You know, and it's you know, it's I mean, it's surreal. I told somebody the other day, you know, I have a cool job in the city, but I don't do the important stuff in the city. But, you know, it's just amazing how many green lights we're popping right now. And that's just, you know, it's work.
Yeah.
You know, this is a decade of work all coming together at the right time.
Yep. It's going to be good stuff.
It's good stuff.
It
sir.
Already is good stuff.
You know, and I appreciate what you guys, I appreciate what everybody in the community does for us.
Dude, for sure.
Yeah.
That's what it takes it to make it.
Yeah. You know? I get it.
Well, dude, thanks for hanging out today.
Is that enough?
Is it?
I mean, that's what I got, days, man. Well, one day I'll come in, you know, I just want to come in and I'm going to wear a wrestling mask. I'm going to talk in a voice. And what would
we
you
can do that one?
You know, I just want to be anonymous Dothan.
Yeah, we can do that. Fill me in. We got to rebrand the podcast.
Yeah. Rebrand it. You know, I don't want to get called in go Clay's this year. I'm going to be like Dusty Rhodes as the Midnight Rider. No, that's not me.
No.
I got on a mask. It don't count.
Yeah, that is. No, that's not me.
Yeah, but last I'll say is if you got an idea of something you want to do, you know some promoters, you know something to come into town, reach out to me.
Yeah.
I'm not hard to find. And if you want to come down and be part of the team, we have a pretty big team. So when I got there, the sporadic team or the part-time team was about 10 people. Well, we got 80 people now.
Yeah.
So the team is
how
like
that works. Do you hire per – I mean, I guess you have like a pool of 80 now.
We do. So we send out – so we know when the event's coming, and then we send out a message. It's got a PDF.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fill out the PDF because I learned some people are going to fill it out and they're not going to show up. So – if you want that date, you text me back. It's on an app called Textly. You send it back. I put you in, fill it in. And we got a great team going. But if you want to come join, jump on a couple shows. I mean, it's part-time work. Come down to the city, fill out an app. You want to be a bartender, I have to do a vendor form for that. And then we do responsible vendor. You know, I think your buddy teaches that class.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, especially younger – happy faces I like to put out front because I want to show that, you know, I want to get people to buy in.
Sure.
You know, there's so if you want to come down and take part, come on. If you got ideas of when we get all this stuff back online and rolling, come down. I promise you, you'll get credit for it. We'll talk it out and just you know, maybe I could tell you how to make it happen.
Sure.
I think you're going to see some, and that we try to do this and not be offensive, but we run into a lot of, you know, we set up a build a show. We need this. We need this. We need this. Mm-hmm. This is why we do this. I think Daniel and I, that's what I was going into earlier and I forgot. Daniel and I have been talking, and one of the goals I have is I'd like to set up some workshops, or maybe we get in some people who want to run an event or some nonprofits and explain why we do this.
Yeah.
Maybe explain how Facebook advertising works, bring in Brittany from the city, how Facebook target advertising works, how Google advertising works.
Mm-hmm.
And try to make everybody better without you know, there's a thin line. Like, we're not trying to be offensive. We're just trying to help.
Sure.
And at the same time, we'll learn, too, this is what you do. This is
yeah. –
so I think it would be beneficial to us all as soon as we can start scheduling some stuff out and some curriculum.
And, dude, knowing everybody is just more resources.
Yeah, you know everybody can make stuff move, man. You know, that's what my guys that – you know, I also work for a thing called Bulls, Bands, Barrels, which those guys, if you see a show they're doing and you like country music – look at who they have and go ahead and jump on it. It's weird. I posted some pictures with Zach Bryan 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody liked or commented or anything. And now it's, you know, he's the biggest thing over the moon. So,
right.
You know, we're trying to get a bigger relationship with everybody in the community. That'd be key this year. You too.
Yeah. But it takes the community showing up to the Civic Center.
Yeah. Come on to the Civic Center, buy some tickets, buy yourself some drinks, have a good time. Let us take care of you.
Yeah. Get those core memories.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Get well, thanks for hanging out, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
If you're interested in having your story featured on the local podcast, hit us up at wiregrasslocal@gmail.com or give us a shout on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter @thelocalpodcast.